Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good afternoon, Upstate. Welcome to Upstate Outdoors. You're listening to Philip Gentry and Boat Girl.
Hi.
On 106.3 WORD. They can't see you wave, honey.
I know.
Yeah. So
happy 4th of July weekend.
Yeah.
I guess it, 4th yeah, it of July, is 4th of July
4th
weekend.
4th of July weekend, yeah. And a lot of, you know, it's kind of odd having the 4th fall on a Thursday. But, you know, if you played your cards right, like I did.
You got a big, long weekend.
You got a four-day weekend out of it. So
that's right.
But we got a great show coming up for you today. We're going to jump into the Upstate Outdoors blog and talk about the Bronze Age. And that's not doesn't have anything to do with history. Of course, we're talking about bronze backs or smallmouth bass.
Smallies.
And so actually, a lot of folks who don't realize this, there is a good, which was a created fishery here in South Carolina. A couple of places are trophy smallmouth bass fisheries, so we'll talk about that. And then speaking about bass fishing, we're going to talk to local angler, local pro bass angler, Marty Robinson.
Marty made the switch over to MLF this year.
Yep, made the switch over to MLF, and he they finished up their Bass Pro Tour events, their regular events. They still got some, you know, end of the season cup.
Playoffs,
yeah, playoffs and then the championship. And so looking forward, we'll catch Marty somewhere on the road coming home and talk with him about what he thought about the first year in a whole new environment.
Inaugural season.
Yep, of the Bass Pro Tour. And then we're going to have 7 steps for choosing the right rifle scope. This is the time of year a lot of folks are out and they're like, you know, I want to change some equipment over before deer season gets here, and you know I don't want to wait till the last minute to do that. So got some good insight here on what you need to consider if you're considering putting a new rifle scope or just starting a new deer rifle, and you're looking for something to go on that gun. And then during the second hour, Boat Girl is going to bring us the Roadkill Cafe. What do we got today?
We got some shrimp.
Shrimp.
Shrimp on the grill.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So looking forward to that.
Yeah.
We didn't fix that this week.
No, but we're going
to. But we're fixing to.
Probably this evening.
Probably this evening. Okay. Awesome. And then for those of you, speaking of shrimp, for those of you, it's a weekend. Maybe you're planning on, you know, being off next week. That's a lot of folks take the week of the 4th off. So maybe you're down at the coast listening to us on the radio.com app, or maybe you're headed down next week or the next week. So I got a coastal fishing report for you from CarolinaSportsman.com, and give you a little sneak peek. There's a lot of stuff biting down on the coast.
Yeah, a lot.
A lot of stuff this time of year,
it's pretty good time.
Well, and kind of the way that works is when the water starts getting a little bit too hot to you know, really have great freshwater fishing all the time, that's usually about the time that the inshore and the nearshore fishing down at the coast gets good. Now, there'll be a time probably another few weeks, maybe into August. I mean, there's always something to catch.
Sharks,
yeah.
In August.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You can always catch sharks. But it'll get, as it gets a little warmer down there, then, you know, the inshore fisheries, the trout, the redfish, and the flounder, they get a little bit tougher, too. And so we'll talk about that. And then got a great guest. Boat Girl and I were talking this week about an event that we talked about on the show, promoting the lights on the lake,
the fireworks
and all that,
and they
had the Jake Bartley band that played there and did an awesome job there. And we said, you know, it'd be pretty cool. Let's talk to Jake Bartley and manage to get hold of him and
something different on a holiday weekend.
Something different, and Jake's a big outdoorsman, so we're going to talk with him about he's done the lights on the lake, great Lake Greenwood, big event, a lot of folks. And the cool thing is a lot of folks listen to him play from the water. Right. I mean, there's pontoon boats spread out
stacked
all across.
All over the place.
And they set the stage up, you know, kind of like, it almost looks like a Jimmy Buffett concert. So looking forward to talking to Jake about that. And then we will wrap up the show with our calendar of events. And we do not have a whole lot, and I'm sure there's some more out there. So I want to go ahead and throw out the email address, upstateoutdoors@1063WORD.com. If you have an outdoor event that you'd like for us to promote,
send them to us.
Absolutely, on the calendar of events. And then we're going to wrap up the show with a, we're back to the Florida stories. But this isn't one about a person in Florida. It's one about an 11-foot alligator who breaks into a person's house and destroys all of their wine. So looking forward to that on the parting shot today. So
only in Florida, right?
Yep, only in Florida. Only in Florida. So I guess we got to have a early season chigger report with Boat Girl, because we celebrated this week. Boat Girl got her first chigger bites.
The first get ready this week of deer season. And we had to work on a couple stands. And I mean, I just can't stay away from them. I got like 6 bites on my ankle.
I got 0.
Already.
I got 0.
I don't know how he has 0, but.
I have an idea.
I get them every year.
Yeah. Except for that one time. You didn't get them the one time that I prepped.
I'm going to start wrapping duct tape around my pants legs or something. I don't know what to do.
Well, you know, you said it. What I do, any time I go out in the woods, it's just a habit I picked up years and years ago. I wear my old pair of muck boots, you know, and because of that, you know, I might be in water or whatever, and my pant legs go inside the boot. And you said, well, I think that's what you're doing different.
Yeah, it has to be.
You're putting them in there. And they're also coming up pretty high. Now, I am higher, you know, I go higher.
I think that they pick on the short people.
Well, I can tell you, is using that family off. I think maybe that family style off.
He tells me my bug spray is wimpy.
That stuff that smells like perfume, I think that draws them to you.
Well, I did not use industrial strength.
I put 7 dust in my boots, and you were like, well, you know, you're gonna have cancer in a few years, so.
Yeah, I'm not throwing poison in my socks.
Well,
chiggers or no chiggers?
I think you'd be okay. I got an idea. I think if you went back, maybe used your muck boots or a pair of boots like that and sprinkled it inside, not on the skin, like it says,
not on the skin.
I think we'll be good.
Or we're going to figure out something.
Maybe we can find some diatomaceous earth.
I love getting ready for hunting season, except the bugs. But, I mean, I had gnats everywhere. It was hot.
Yeah.
And gnats and
I hate insects.
Mosquitoes and
I hate insects. We had one of our stands blow over. We did. Y'all should have seen Boat Girl. We had a stand blow over and I crawled up here and tied a rope to it. She got on the four-wheeler and man, popped that thing right back up.
It had to have come down in the thunderstorms in the past couple of weeks, but we got it fixed and managed to bend it all back into good enough
and,
shape
and
to
anchored
use.
It this time.
And we got
that was the one. That was the one that I had relocated, and I was meaning to anchor it down and forgot to anchor it down. And there you go, it got blown off.
It's in a great spot though.
Yeah,
except for getting blown over during the storm.
We'll be good. We'll be good for that. So, great show coming up for you today. If you're out on a lake or out on the water, we appreciate you listening.
Be safe out there.
Yeah. Everybody, be safe out there. And in the meantime, we'll go to our break and come back. We'll bring you the Upstate Outdoors blog. Going to talk about some smallmouth and some smallmouth fisheries.
I think
it'll be some good information, folks, maybe who aren't aware about the smallmouth we got here.
Sounds great. Y'all stay with us right here, 106.3 WORD.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, if you are a bass fisherman here in the state of South Carolina, you know that we got several different bass species. We got, of course, the largemouth bass. Everybody knows that. And then we got the spotted bass, and the spotted bass came about, actually were brought in to the state.
Right.
And all of the lakes, let's see, Joe Cassie's got them, Kiwi's got them. I think Kiwi got them first.
I think so.
And Hartwell's got them, Russell's got them, Clarksville's got them. Now Greenwood, for the longest time, it said Greenwood didn't have them. And
it was the last of the holdouts.
Have you heard of anybody saying that they're in Lake Murray?
Not that
they're in Greenwood. If they're in Greenwood now,
they probably are.
They're going to
show up.
So I don't know about any of the Catawba chain lakes over there, Wiley. I don't know if there's spots in Wiley.
I think there is spots.
Yeah.
In Wiley.
Well, they're
not
100% you got spots in. You got spots upstream, like Lake Norman. I was up at Lake Norman last weekend and caught some spots. So the spotted bass, but there is also another bass in the state, smallmouth bass.
That you never think about.
People rarely think about, and they were not here. They're not here by mistake. There was actually a lot of effort on the part of the Department of Natural Resources. So I wrote the Upstate Outdoors blog about that. It's called The Bronze Age. And historically, the state of South Carolina has been best known as a largemouth bass destination for anglers traveling to and around the state. However, over time, the largemouth landscape has shifted somewhat to now include spotted bass, and we talked about that. Another black bass species, the smallmouth bass, has also been naturalized in the state and has taken hold in a couple of varied fisheries. Now, this accomplishment was not an easy task and was established by much hard work on behalf of the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. The department began stocking smallmouth bass into the Broad River drainage and into Lake Joe Cassie in the early 1980s. According to Eastover-based fisheries biologist Jason Bettinger, Kings Creek, that's a York County tributary of the Broad, was the initial smallmouth destination as it was thought then to be more suitable habitat for the smallmouth fishery. Shortly after, the fishery expanded into the Broad River and smallmouths took off there. And at the same time, smallmouths were stocked directly into Lake Joe Cassie. And that occurred up until about 2010. Matter of fact, they finished their completion report about 2013 after they did some studies on it. We later moved our stocking program directly into the Broad River, said Bettinger. Our stockings took place in three locations, below Gaston Shoals and just below the 99 Islands Dam, and also at Neal Shoals just outside of Carlisle. Now, from 2005 until 2010, the department conducted stockings in both the spring and the fall. They poured between 8,000 and 10,000 one-inch fry into each fishery, respectively, early in the year, and then up to about 2,000 six-inch fry, six-inch small fry, smallmouth fry. After the summer season started, they were trying to get some of those bigger fish in there. The accumulated stockings have created a tremendous fishery in both the Broad River and on Lake Joe Cassie. Now, Brandon Barber, one of our buds up at River Blade Knife and Fly in Spartanburg, is a frequent visitor to the Broad River and enjoys the variety that river smallmouth provides. He said this is a unique fishery. Naturally, there are smallmouths up and down the river, and they can be caught year-round. But to me, the best time to catch them is in the heat of the summer. Summertime usually means the lowest river flows of the year, and that concentrates the fish. Now, unlike their largemouth cousins, smallmouth bass prefer flowing water and hard bottom to the slower, deeper pools that are found along the Broad. So the grass-lined mud banks that drop off into chest-deep water littered with stumps and old wood may look like a bass angler's dream, but in truth, it holds very few smallmouths. That's where you'll find largemouth in the Broad River. And he said, the first thing I look for is rocks. The second is current, said Barber. Pretend you're looking for good trout water rather than bass water, and you're going in the right direction. The river has stretches of both, and that's what makes this such a great place to float fish. You can paddle through the deeper pools and then either fish the rocky areas from the boat or get out and wade fish. And also because of the limited access to the Broad, paddling. Yeah, that's a good way to reach the whole thing.
There's not a lot of access at all to the Broad River.
No.
You know, just a few spots?
Yeah, just a few spots. A lot of it on either side is privately owned, so you can't put in there anyway. And the few the few places that you can put in public access, you can only motor down to the shoals, you know, below, or motor to the shoals above, and that's as far as you can go, unless you can,
truly,
you know, unless you got one of those
unspooled fishery. Then.
Yeah, if you got a mud motor or something, maybe you can get over them, but you're going to do a lot of
scraping.
I don't
know if the mud motor is going to go over the rocks or not, though.
Well, you do a lot of dragging. Now, Joe Cassie, angler, and former TV show host Monty McGuffin has caught more than his share of smallmouth bass from Lake Joe Cassie, but still has a hard time explaining how to specifically target them in the lake. He said the smallmouth is probably the most unique of all the bass that live in Joe Cassie, said McGuffin. There's a few guys who have figured the smallies out, but most anglers catch smallmouth by accident while fishing for largemouth. Yeah, that happens a lot. He said you can target smallmouth up against the rocks using small jigs. That's called the float and fly. You've seen that. And that's using a cork to suspend a jig, and that's right off the rocks. And sometimes that works real well up here, said McGuffin. The drop shot rig,
yes.
Right? The drop shot rig, that's the
deep
hottest.
Deep water drop shot.
Yep, that's the current hottest technique for smallmouth at Lake Joe Cassie. A favorite combination among the local anglers is a green watermelon or a pumpkin seed zoom trick worm.
Basic stuff.
Yep.
And everybody's got that.
And at about 18 inches above that, a 3/16 ounce sinker or split shot. Actually, I said that backwards. Hooked about 18 inches above. So the sinker's going to be on the bottom. That's going to be the drop shot. And that rig is going to be fished near shallow, rocky points that run into deeper water. Now, shallow in Lake Joe Cassie is 40 feet.
Right.
So you're going to fish that in shallow, you know, 40 feet of water. It drops off into 100 feet of water. And you're going to catch, if you're up there at Joe Cassie, it's just like Kiwi or anywhere else. I don't know. Have you ever seen a smallmouth come out of Kiwi?
I have not, personally.
Yeah.
I have heard of smallmouth being in Kiwi, but well, I have not personally.
I think because they pump water back and forth, I don't think they do real well because the water at Kiwi's heated. And they like that cold water. So,
I guess it's possible.
Yeah.
It they would be deep.
Yeah. If one of the smaller ones made it through. I mean, I've heard of trout in Kiwi.
Yeah.
People catching rainbow and brown trout in Kiwi. And
I mean,
deep,
I don't think
deep.
There would ever be any monsters because of the water temperature.
Yeah. You never know. Because the far end of that lake, you can't even tell it's thermal. If you get out there on the Oconee side, the far Oconee side up there around what's the name of that creek I'm thinking about? Where the campground is. South Cove.
South
you get on the
lake.
South Cove side, way away from all that stuff, you couldn't tell that water's heated.
No.
Yeah.
You got to get away from it, though.
I tell you where I have caught a smallmouth, though.
Where's that?
Lake Robinson.
What?
Yep. They stocked Lake Robinson. I don't know that they're still doing it, but they stocked Lake Robinson for a couple of years trying to get them established. And I caught one. It was probably about 8 inches while I was crappie fishing.
I would like to go on a float trip on the Broad River.
Yeah.
I think that we're going to have to arrange that.
Yeah, we'll have to get that taken care of.
Smallies fight. Good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Broad's a great place. Well, let's go to our break because we got Marty Robinson, a professional bass angler. He's fishing up the Bass Pro Trail. And we're going to call Marty and get him on the phone and be back with him right after these messages.
Right here, 106.3 WORD.
Stay tuned.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, well, our next guest is no stranger to Upstate Outdoors. And even, Boat Girl, you're pretty familiar with Marty Robinson yourself,
yeah.
Right?
Local bass fishing celebrity.
So, Marty, welcome back to Upstate Outdoors.
Hey guys, how you doing, man? It's good to hear from you.
Great. Now, I mean, I could tell by the background that you're on the road. You've been on the road for pretty much since the spring. And I know they're wrapping up the Bass Pro Tour. What's it been like as far as this was the inaugural year of the Bass Pro Tour, and seen a lot of you on TV and a lot of you on social media. And what did you think about it?
Well, you know, Philip, it's been a blast, man. Oh yeah, Boat Girl too. Don't let me forget you, Boat Girl. it's been a blast. It's been super exciting, and we just finished up at Lake Winnebago in Wisconsin, and you know, we started at Toho at the first of the year, and it's been super exciting for me. It's been a change, but it's, you know, everything's been new, but it's been all for the good, man. I've really truly enjoyed it.
Now, speaking as a professional bass fisherman, and now you got one year, you know, under your belt of this format, and in, you know, several years of the Bassmaster Elites, how has that changed you as a professional angler? What's your focus on now in the Bass Pro Tour events?
You know, Philip, it's the most exciting tournament format that I think is available in competitive fishing. You know, and like, you know, if I'm fishing a regular five fish tournament, say, and if I start the day out good, if I catch me five biggins, hey, I got around 20 pounds. Well, I may say, you know, the rest of the day, I'll pick up a big fish bait, like a jig or a big swim bait or something. And I might say, I'm going to throw this all day. Don't mind if I get a bite on it or not. I'm just looking for one big bite. But in a sense, it kind of lets me relax a little bit. I got a 20 pound bag. Or a good bag, you know, I'm just going for a big fish. I may not catch another fish all day. I can just kind of relax and hopefully catch a bigger fish. But this format here, there's never any relaxing time. I mean, it's intense from the moment of lines in to lines out. That's the difference between it. There's never any relaxing moments, you know, in this competitive style.
Do you prepare different knowing that you're looking for numbers? I mean, obviously I know you're looking for big fish too because of the weight, but do you prepare different for a tournament now than you did with five fish limit?
You know, I don't really prepare a whole lot different. You know, now we get 2 days of practice compared to 2.5 days of practice in years past, but you know, I still practice the same way. I still look for, you know, schools of fish. I try to locate schools of fish before, you know, as far as just going out fishing for singles, because that's what you need, you know, whether you're fishing a five fish tournament or a multi fish tournament. So I prepare the same. And to be completely honest, man, the first three tournaments of the year, Toho, Conroe and the North Carolina event in Raleigh, as far as even the tournament days, I fished the exact same way that I would in a five fish tournament, because that time of the year, I mean, you guys know how it is. You go out in the spring a lot, you know, water's still cold. You're just trying to get a bite a lot of times.
Yeah.
And that was the whole deal for me in practice, just trying to get a bite, because, you know, and a lot of those early tournaments when the water's still cold, it's hard to catch five fish, much less, you know, 20 fish.
Well, and, you know, in the early spring, man, that afternoon bite gets pretty good after lunch sometimes too.
That's right. That's exactly right. But I fished exactly the same. I threw the same baits I would if I'd have been fishing a five fish tournament. You know, I think I caught most of my fish in that first event at Florida. You know, throwing a swim jig, throwing a fluke a little bit, flipping a little bit, and same goes in the next two. I would have probably been throwing the same baits in the five fish deal. So, you know, you don't prepare a lot different. Now, there has been, like, you know, maybe one or two tournaments I can say this year that I may have changed up my fishing a little bit, but not much. You know, the best thing about this format, it keeps you in tune, or makes you stay in tune to what the fish are doing, and really try to figure out the changes throughout the day of what, how you need to change your technique or how you need to adjust to the fishing. Because, like I said, you know, a lot of times if you catch five good ones, then you're just going to put something in your hand. You're going to say, I'm going to throw this the rest of the day, whether I get a bite or not, because this is, I know I need, I'm going to have to get a, you know, catch a 6-pounder to do any good. So, you know, it really keeps you in tune with just trying to get that next bite.
And we're talking with local angler Marty Robinson from up in Lyman. And Marty, another great thing about the new format with the Bass Pro Tour is during the summertime, when your boys get out of school, you've got some time off, and your wife also, they're traveling with you. Y'all, I see you on social media. Y'all are getting out and fishing together and doing some touring. So it's got to be a great way to spend time with your family, even when you're on the road.
Yeah, you know, Philip, that's one of the biggest things that I enjoy about this this format here. You have off days in between your tournament days. And, well, I say off days. You never really have any off days when you got my family around.
It's a mini tournament, right? We're going to have a mini tournament.
Y'all just got to compete amongst yourselves.
you're going to be on a lake or a body of water somewhere fishing, no matter, you know, whether it's an off day or not. But yeah, that's the biggest or probably one of the most enjoyable things about this format. You know, you got those off days in between the tournament days, and you can spend time with your family. You can kind of, you know, regroup, refresh, whatever you want to call it, get you a little rest, maybe sleep in and recover from some of those long days, man. But it's great. I love it.
Awesome. Marty Robinson. Hey, Marty, we're pulling for you. I'm glad you had a great year with the Bass Pro Tour and got a couple of more cup events to wrap up the year. And so just getting geared up, looking forward to seeing you do it again next year.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate it, and I appreciate y'all calling me. And, you know, it's been a super exciting year, and I'm looking forward to next year. And if any of you guys out there really want to experience something super exciting, the next tournament or the next time you and a bunch of your buddies get together, just go on and download the Score Tracker Live or get on Score Tracker Live on the MLF website and have you, a MLF-style format tournament. And, dude, I'm telling you, it is a blast.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. I've seen it. It's a great format. All right, Marty, take care, man. Thanks for being on the show.
Awesome.
Right,
thanks, Marty.
Man. Thank you, girl. See ya.
So looking at kind of their tournament format, and I know they got the Red Crest coming up, and unfortunately Marty didn't make the cut on that this year. I think he wound up losing about
Got some cup events. 45th.
They got a couple of cup events that he qualified for, so his season's not over.
Right.
But
it's interesting. I mean, it takes a little bit of getting used to, you know, because it's kind of like baseball.
Yep.
9 innings, 3 strikes, you know. But when you do something different, it takes a little bit of getting used to, but it's pretty exciting. I'm kind of keeping up with it.
And we got to say congratulations to Edwin Evers, who was the Angler of the Year champion so far. So Edwin's been on the show with us. And so great talking with Marty. All right, now we're going to go to our break, and then when we come back, we'll have more Upstate Outdoors.
Right here, 106.3 WORD.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Well, it's about that time of year. It's always about some kind of time of year if you're an outdoorsman. It's either time to look at fishing stuff or hunting stuff. And this time of year, if you're a deer hunter.
It's pre-game.
Yeah, yeah. Or if you're a big game hunter and you're like, well, you know, because I'm looking at my deer rifle, if I'm going to hunt with a rifle. And maybe I want to change something about that, or maybe I want to try some new ammo, or maybe I want to get a new rifle scope. And so that's I picked this up off of MinutemanReview.com. It's the 7 steps for choosing the right rifle scope. And so if you're in the market for that, some pretty good advice here. They're talking about the seven steps. Number one is going to be to you need to consider the usage and the environment. Now, a lot of folks, and I'm talking about us, we already know the environment that right. we're going to be using it in. It's going to be, you know, South Carolina. Of course, if you look at last year, there was a lot of wet weather.
It rained. I went in the rain, and I don't go in the rain.
Yeah.
But it rained pretty much, for about a month straight.
And we had some snow.
Yes. And I did get out there in the snow. Not while it was snowing.
Yeah.
But because, you know, we got to work for a living. But, you know, there was snow on the ground.
Yeah.
So I never thought I would do that, but okay.
So that's really the first thing you want to take into consideration. That certain types of scopes will have assets that can, you know, that tolerate extreme weather conditions, humidity, moisture,
temperature,
stuff like that. So, you know, that's a consideration. And then where they kind of break this down, you're going to be reusing the rifle for three reasons. One is self-defense. I don't know anybody that uses a rifle with a scope for self-defense.
No.
Okay? Because that's... unless you got a one of them places...
Why don't you go out there 150 yards and then we don't even have to worry about
that? Unless you got one of them places where you got it marked with a kill zone, you know, if you go beyond this line, you're going to be shot. The second one is targeting competition shooting. And, of course, that's different. And then, of course, hunting. And that's what we're focused on here. The second one is the magnification needs. When it comes to magnification, there are two numbers that you want to consider. The first number or range of numbers has to do with the factor of magnification of the target. For example, a 3x30 scope magnifies the target by a factor of 3 or makes the target appear 3 times larger than if you were looking at it with the naked eye. Right? Makes sense.
Right, makes sense.
And most of us use a variable. Right there. So like a 3 to 9 by whatever.
You know, you can make adjustments.
I got a 3 to 9 by 50. That's probably my favorite scope loophole. But there are two types of magnifications used. You have a fixed magnification where you just got one. You know, it's like the article's talking about a 3 by something or a 4 by something. And you can't vary that. You can't change that. And then of course the one that I don't think either one of us have a fixed
Mine's
magnification.
Not fixed. Yours, no. I know yours isn't fixed either.
So we can go from, it's a variable. Rifles that are using a variety of different ways you can use a variety of ways with a variable magnification. And hunting, that's one of them. You know, you can dial that scope up close because if you've got that scope dialed way out and an animal steps in front of you at close range, it's tough to shoot. It's tough to, because, I mean, you'll throw the scope up and see nothing but hair, and you don't even know where that's at. So when I'm sitting in the stand, I like to keep my scope on 6.
I keep mine dialed way back just to give me a little bit bigger field of vision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I need to move something around, I can reach up.
Well, and the other thing about that, too, if you keep it in close, because if a deer, and I'm assuming deer hunting, if you're hunting a deer that's far away, then, you know, moving and dialing the scope out is not going to be a big deal.
Right.
But if he's right there in front of you,
you can't
and
move
you got to dial it down, you may not be able to move. Those little movements are going to be critical. So the third factor in here is the second number associated with scope magnification has to do with the objective lens diameter.
Okay.
Right?
Fill us in on that.
That is like we were talking about a 50, 3 to 9, that's the variable by whatever number, okay?
Okay.
40 millimeter, 50 millimeter.
Gotcha.
So that's what the objective lens diameter is. And that's the size of the glass at the leading end of the scope. The number determines how much light is allowed into the scope. So that's why I like a 50 millimeter, because I want as much light as I can get into the end of the scope, especially in low light conditions.
End of the day, early morning.
And 40s, well, I remember back when 36 was big. And then 40 millimeter became the standard. And now you see more 50s than pretty much anything. You know, 40s and 50s. Now, the next thing is eye relief. And that's the distance you hold your eye from the scope when you shoot. That's important because hitting yourself in the eye with a scope when you shoot is not only embarrassing, but it can cause some serious damage, like this scar I got over my left eye.
Is that what that's from?
Yeah.
No.
I did.
Are you serious?
Yeah. From a 7mm Magnum.
I can say that I have never popped myself because I had a really good shooting instructor.
Yeah.
Philip Gentry.
Yeah. Well,
I've never popped myself in the face.
That was a situation where a deer popped up right in front of me, and I was hunting on the ground.
And you just threw that thing up. And
I was hunting with a gun. It was way too big for what I was doing.
Okay.
And I threw it up, and I not thinking. It was early in my hunting career, and I didn't get the stock on my shoulder good.
Uh-oh.
And
it popped up.
Pulled the trigger.
But did you hit the deer?
Yes, I did.
That's
not good, hit it. No, yeah.
How many times do you have to shoot it?
No, I didn't have to shoot it once it was so close. That was one of those things where you pull the trigger, looked up and saw blood and realized it was your own.
I had one last year.
Streaming out of your eye.
I was sitting in a box stand. And in fact, I think it was the day that the snow was on the ground. I can't remember. I'm looking through the binoculars to the back of the food plot, and I had one step out, and all I saw was his face. It was way too close, so I understand that.
Yeah. Number five is a parallax problem. Most smaller scopes used for hunting are parallax-free. What that means is that the crosshairs in your scope stay in a fixed position even if you move your head or eye slightly, okay?
Gotcha.
When you're hunting, your breathing or heartbeat can affect the parallax and make it impossible to make an accurate shot. So they're fixed.
Mm-hmm. I know all about that, too.
Number six is reticle considerations. That's your crosshairs. That's of your scope. And, they come in a lot of different. You can have a lot of information that come on the reticle. It's mil dots. That's dotted crosshair that helps you determine distance and size of the target. And then the bullet drop compensators built in too, which is a series of lines that can help you judge a bullet drop at various distances to the target. And even now, they make some that are lighted where you have an aim point, which I've got that.
New and lighted.
Yeah, I got that on my loophole where and all I want is just a little bit of light there. And then number seven, before we run out of time, is adjustments. Since there isn't a scope made that can be taken out of the box and used immediately, you want to have good adjustment so that you can get it dialed in. The MOA corresponds to 1 inch when you're shooting at 100 yards. If you miss by an inch at 100 yards, you can adjust with one click. And that's the most common type, which often includes a half MOA adjustment as well. And in some of the more complicated scopes, like the military scopes, use an MRAD, and that's 3.6 inches at 100 yards. And those are favored more by long-range shooters.
It's time to start shooting.
Yep,
going in range, getting your scopes dialed in, getting your guns dialed in, getting ready.
And there's the music. So that's the end of the first hour, and we're going to go to our break for the top of the hour and come back with the Roadkill Cafe.
Y'all stay with us right here, 106.3 WORD.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.